You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Robb.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanik.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It is 5:02 with Rop and Souk.
Hey, shut up.
Thank you. I am Rop. That is Souk. Suh. Suh.
Suh, indeed.
Suh, it.
Man, you're on fire today.
I was reading a story.
What are you reading?
Missing person since 2015 was found, and there's a connection. I know this. I know this person whose remains were found, and it's not like anyone related to me or anything. But
well, this has just gotten awkward.
Yeah, it's strange. Like there's someone that I have known for a number of years, and they went missing in 2015. And just a couple of days ago, they found her. Well, they found the remains. I guess it was like off of where was it over Chinook Landing Marine Park. This was just about a month ago, and someone was walking. I guess with all the rain, like the body had come up, or I guess the skeletal remains.
Jeez.
And so. Now they're doing an investigation into it and all that, and I know everyone that's involved in this. So I was just kind of
You know the murderer.
Well, I don't. No one's been charged, but I know the suspects, and it's kind of surreal. I've never.
What is your life? What do you have going on in your life?
I've never known anyone that's been I've never. There's no one that I've known that's like a missing person. I've never met anyone that's been a suspect
Except
in any kind of crime.
Except yesterday, you admitted to being a cannibal.
I did not. That's ridiculous.
If offered the opportunity.
Have you ever met anyone that's like gone missing or has been involved like in a murder investigation? I haven't.
Well, Dave Bartu.
Oh, yeah.
He has multiple run-ins with murder, which is weird.
Yeah, Dave's killed people.
Really.
So it's just...
No, I don't. I mean, not off the top of my head.
And this was 2015, so I'd kind of, to be honest with you, I'd kind of forgotten about it because it's not like it's a close.
I was going to say, you're clearly broken up over
it. Well, it's. You're telling me you don't have those people where you know them, but they're not. I've met these people a handful of times over the years. It's kind of a friend sort of situation, but I'm familiar with them. And like I heard about it at the time all those years ago, and I was like, well, that sucks. And, you know, hopefully something happens. And then I've a couple
did
of years.
Did you do your own, like.
No, I did not do my own Dateline investigation.
You didn't?
And I don't want to get into like any kind of details, but it's kind of like.
Yeah, but you had thoughts like you knew. OK, so yes. You were close enough that you're like, ah, I know who did that.
Yeah. Yeah. There was certainly an element of like, one of those. And so now.
So does this news mean that that was correct or we're going to find out?
Well, there was certainly foul play involved.
Boy, this is awkward.
She didn't naturally die and then bury herself in a watery like grave. No.
That's true. Now, are you a suspect?
No, I am not a suspect.
You laugh. not really.
You know,
And I had missed the news and I talked to someone today and they're like, hey, did you see the news? And I was like, no. And he told me about it. So then I went and looked up the article and I was like, well, I'll be damned.
Jeez, Jace.
Well, again, this is all kind of weird. I've never met anyone that's been murdered. Have you?
Well, yeah, yes. Unfortunately, we do.
Oh, yeah.
The great late Steve Forsythe.
Steve Forsythe.
Dear friend of ours from here at Intercom.
That's true.
Who was killed in the Clackamas Town Center shooting.
So it was kind of.
So, yes. Thanks for bringing that. Now it's more awkward.
You caught me at a weird moment because I was reading something. And yes, I am currently working on my alibi. I was nowhere near anything.
God.
You want a break?
No. Here's what's coming up.
You asked. And then you
Send me a link.
And then you kept poking. You had to know.
I did.
You had to know.
I tell you what, that is a flaw of mine. I will always, I just can't help it.
Dude, my head is.
I'm curious.
My head is spinning. Like, I'm like, holy crap. Like, I've sat and had dinner.
Well, let's talk more about it. I have more questions.
Yeah, so do I. I've got questions too.
All right, here's what's coming up. What is it with Florida football? Speaking of murder, we have a juicy David Ortiz follow-up. Also, speaking of, well, attempted murder. I mean, God, all this murdery talk. What the hell?
What is going on here?
And then in the club, I don't know, Jupiter talk, Dominican Republic
Rub
talk.
Rub with disgusted eyes.
None of this is jumping out of me. How did you meet your spouse?
Jupiter talk.
I have a great how did you meet your spouse story.
I don't know how you met your spouse.
It was in a bar.
Rugby scrum?
What?
You just met your wife at a bar? Did you like walk up to her just randomly?
No, she was hired by a friend of mine, and he said, hey, you got to get down here and see.
Hired for you? Wow, that's a little awkward. Look at what you're admitting to.
Wait, no, wow. That came out wrong.
That's where you're going. You hired your wife.
Well, no, someone hired his wife for him.
Yeah, no, she was
one of those situations. Yeah. Getting a little desperate, were you?
He stole his buddy's hired gal for the night. It was a swap for hire.
This whole segment has just gone to the left, hard left. Murder and mail order brides.
He hired her and he texted me and said, man, you got to see these hots I brought in. Hired two hots.
And you came rolling in.
Of course I went down.
In.
Yeah, I was down there like, hey, how are you?
You're like, what's up?
Yeah, so anyway.
Did you say it that passively?
The rest is history.
Hey, how are you?
What's up, ladies?
We're married to this day.
I went in and showed some chest hair, and the rest, as they say, is history.
So, I already know the answer, so we going?
Oh, wow. Is that what the kids say now?
I think I had much more class. I think the kids just swipe now.
Than that. Oh. Yeah, right. So I guess it's already understood. If I had
swiped
and we had met, because we'd both swipe, then it's understood.
Right? I think that's how that works.
All right. So the club is 6-7. Right now, the hot 5-5.
Thank God.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5-5.
It's hot.
The Hot 5-5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5-5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
Guys, move on.
Bro.
Number five.
Well, the U.S. Women's World Cup team won today.
Yeah, but it was a nail biter. They really had to work for it.
They opened the World Cup with a record 13-0 victory. Alex Morgan scored 5 goals.
Now, correct
me
if I'm wrong.
And looked good doing it.
But I feel like that's a lot of goals.
It is a lot. Too shy of 15, though. So.
Do you feel bad for the poor Thailand squad?
Like, not really.
No?
I don't have those types of feelings.
Like, at some point. Like,
they made the World Cup.
That's like when Savannah State's playing Florida State. And it's like 82-0. You're like, God. Like, can you call off the dogs a little bit? Do you really need to score 13?
Thailand was 34th in the world. But no match for number one USA.
No.
And they are number one. So, it was close for a while.
Not really.
But the U.S. pulled away. No. It was only 3-0 at half.
Scored 10 goals in the second half.
Number four.
And the Thai goalie was like 4 feet tall. I just don't know why they ran her out there.
Don't think they had much of a choice.
Taylor Jenkins is now a head coach in the NBA.
Who?
Taylor Jenkins.
Not familiar with the work of Taylor Jenkins.
He is an assistant coach for the Milwaukee Bucks, but he's being hired to take over the Memphis Grizzlies coaching duties. He is the last head coaching hire as we head into next week's NBA draft.
Which actually could be quite interesting. One, you got the whole Zion thing, but we know where that's heading. But, you know, with the Anthony Davis trade heating up, you know, you actually might get some fireworks there at the start of the NBA draft. And then Portland, you know, we'll hear about them drafting some 19-year-old that we've never heard of.
So this guy, Jenkins, takes over the Grizzlies. Memphis does have the number two pick. They are pegged to draft Ja Morant from Murray State with the number two pick, but could take RJ Barrett as well.
Yeah, you hear Barrett a lot at three, and then Cam Reddish also up there.
number three.
The Saints lock up defensive end Cameron Jordan, 3 years, $52 million, 42 of which will be guaranteed. He's been to four Pro Bowls. He turns 30 in July.
Former Cal player, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I remember him at Cal.
Yeah.
He was good. Good player.
He's good in the NFL.
Good little player.
That guy's an absolute stud.
Great little player. Vikings sign their stud tight end Kyle Rudolph to a four-year contract extension, $36 million for him.
Yeah, there was some talk that New England was trying to pry him away, make him the new Gronk, but Minnesota's able to wrap him up for a couple years.
And so he's had 19 touchdowns over the last three seasons. He's a nice weapon for them. So those are your NFL signings. Also, we found out today that the Oakland Raiders will be featured on HBO's Hard Knocks beginning August 6th.
So we get Mark Davis, we get Mayock, we get Gruden, we get Incognito, you get Burfict, you get Antonio Brown all on camera. This should be really good.
I can't even imagine.
That's the one I ultimately want to see. It'll never happen.
The Patriots?
I would love to see the Patriots on Hard Knocks.
Number two is David Ortiz is out of the Dominican Republic, and he is in the ICU at Mass General in Boston. They say he's going to stay there for the next 24 to 48 hours. He underwent exploratory surgery last night upon his arrival. Remember, he was shot point blank at a bar in the Dominican Republic. Reports are that he was targeted in the shooting because of an affair with a drug lord's wife.
Well, that's just terrifying because, look, if someone has already sent a killer after you, what's to stop him from doing it again? Last time I checked, the cartel guys, they don't really care about the whole law thing. That is terrifying stuff on the part of David Ortiz.
They said that he has taken his first steps following the second surgery. They say that he has been alert. He has talked with his family, although visitors will be limited, and doctors do expect him to make a full recovery.
Boy, he is really, really fortunate that that guy at point blank just got him in the lower back and it didn't hit anything major.
We've come too far together. Stop now. Let's do it. That's it, baby.
But if you're Ortiz, can you ever go back to the Dominican Republic?
Number one. Well, I think you can. You just got to have
number one.
Security.
Number one.
Like a lot of it?
I was going to say, do you really want to go down there and then get into a security off with a cartel guy?
And Kevin Durant is reportedly headed to New York to meet with doctors there about his Achilles injury. We have not yet seen the results of the MRI, although the Warriors say they fear that his Achilles is completely torn, which would mean that he would miss all of next season.
And basically anyone, there's been 100 different orthopedic guys that we've all seen the close-up of the calf and the, I mean, it just looks like he got shot. And the way he went down, the way he was grabbing it, and everyone seems to be in the same camp that this is a torn Achilles and will probably miss the entire season coming up.
Well, Durant has a player option on his contract. He has to decide on that by June 29th. If he opts in, he returns to Golden State and makes $31.5 million for one season. But if he passes on the option, he'll become a free agent, and many are noting that he will still likely get major free agent offers, even though he is likely to be done for a long time.
Well, and it's also something to remember too is there's no guarantee that you come back as well from this. I mean, this is kind of, this is the worst injury you can have in the NBA. And there's not been a ton of guys that have ever come back and have played at the same level. Now Durant is young and there's still a lot left in the tank, but there's just no telling exactly what he's going to look like when he comes back.
Hot 5 at 5 is refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Duck and Beaver fans, as you power up for game day, be sure to grab some Frost Brewed Coors Light. Please drink responsibly. There's been another development in the David Ortiz situation, and we'll have that follow-up for you next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
We'll all have a cry in our next segment. I promise. Together, we shall cry. Listening to sports audio. And then we'll get back to murder.
Lovely.
Well, did you see the video of David Ortiz's mistresses fighting at the hospital?
No.
While he's in surgery?
No, I didn't see that one.
So this is not from Boston. This is from the surgery in Dominican Republic. But yeah, there's video of a couple of women who, well, they had heard that David Ortiz, Big Poppy.
Sure.
Had been shot, and they showed up at the hospital, and apparently they didn't like each other.
Mm.
And so they fought at the hospital, and there's video of it.
So apparently, it's his wife and his mistress?
They don't know that. They just know that there are two girls fighting for him at
over,
the hospital.
Over David Ortiz.
Yeah, it was, they were, yeah, there for, to see him.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So David Ortiz, you know, who knows, like, how deep this goes. But he is married.
Yeah.
No one's heard from the wife. Don't know what's going on there.
Well, I think the wife is with him because they were, I was reading that she, that he's been talking to his wife, and I don't know if he's got explaining to
so
do
where,
or not.
So
or,
why doesn't she jump? I mean, it's like you got, wait, you have two mistresses fighting one another at your, at the hospital you're at?
See, what I'm seeing here from TMZ, it says it's David Ortiz's wife and his mistress.
Oh, so it is the wife and a girl and the girlfriend?
I think we've got the wife
and two girlfriends.
No, I think this, according to TMZ, what I'm seeing here, this is the wife and the mistress.
Mm.
Yeah, while he was having surgery. Yeah. The two were fighting inside the hospital. One or both. Yeah, it was originally reported that one or both were allegedly Ortiz's mistress. But now I think it's been determined that it's the wife and the mistress.
So does anybody care that perhaps he was up to some nefarious activities? I mean, look, nobody deserves to be shot and, you know, their life taken.
No.
Due to what he did. But
indiscretions.
Sounds like he was throwing it around a little bit. Is that a factor in any of this? Or is it like, man, you can't.
No, it doesn't.
It's like nobody's perfect. So we all.
Well, like if you. Like, I don't want to be cynical, but if you told me that David or if David Ortiz did or didn't have a mistress, what
you're shocked the fact that he has a girlfriend.
There is zero shock on my part now.
But there's also this story that he was
the drug lord. One is interesting because if that's the case, then you gotta ask the question, man. What the hell? Like, there's a lot of women that I'm sure are lined up to be the mistress for Big Poppy. I mean, he's a national hero now.
Well, lined up to be or are.
Well, probably.
Because you've already got a wife and a girlfriend fighting, and now we've got these reports of a drug king, a drug lord's wife.
Yeah. Well.
I mean, I don't know. All I'm asking is, at any point, does this, like, do you look at Poppy and go, man, what are you doing?
I guess a little bit, but. It certainly doesn't justify, or that no one thinks that they're going to get. You don't think you're going to get shot over it,
right?
I mean, if every professional baseball player or any professional athlete got in trouble over having a mistress or having a girlfriend or not being faithful to their wife, I don't think we'd have professional sports. I mean, I think that number is astronomically high. It's unfortunate that it's gone to these sorts of lengths. I mean, normally this stays a little more kind of civil, but I mean, this, you've got murder involved and now you've got fights at the, you got fights in the hospital.
Dude, it's getting crazy.
I read an article once on Walter Payton.
And by the way, the guys were cops, right? The hired guns.
Again, you're getting all these reports.
Well, that's what the report from the Dominican Republic is saying.
Is saying that the two guys are police.
And
but,
did you see the photos of that guy?
Oh, he's beaten. Like they said that he's
beaten to a pulp.
There were people that had to stop the crowd from killing them. There were people that had to be pulled off of that guy. But I remember reading an article about Walter Payton after he passed. And they said that one of the more awkward situations was at the Hall of Fame ceremony. And remember, he died before he went, and his son was the one. That it was a whole thing with having to keep his mistress and his wife away from each other. They both demanded to be at the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. And Walter has long been passed, but like both of them were like, "No, I'm gonna be there." So this is. I'm not going to say this is totally uncommon when it comes to athletes. I just don't know how many times it involves a drug lord and hitmen.
Yeah. And do we know that? I mean, is it certain that Poppy would know that it's a drug lord's wife?
Possibly not.
You know,
I mean, right. Maybe you just think it's just some random gal. And next thing you know, whoops, you know, you're dating El Chapo's woman.
Ooh, El Chapo.
Yeah. You can't be doing that.
I've heard a story about him today. El Chapo.
El Chapo, what's he?
Yeah, you know,
to?
He's in solitary confinement.
Yeah, he's at that Supermax in Colorado.
No, I think he's in New York.
Is he?
Yeah. I think they have him in New York. You might double check me on that, but I know he's in solitary. And he petitioned recently for like an hour outside or whatever.
Yeah, he's trying to like go outside. I did see that.
And they were like, nope. Which is just, I mean, You reap what you sow, I guess.
Yeah, you can't really.
They can't. I mean, they're just going to leave him in a dark hole.
Yeah, you're not. You're
at
not,
all times.
You're not going anywhere.
So he has something called the El Chapo.
And you're right. He is being housed in Manhattan.
Yeah, he's in. Yeah. Oh, it's in Manhattan.
Yeah, in notorious Manhattan prison. I always thought that the.
What's the prison name?
Oh, look it up. Because most of our big federal baddies, they go to the, they call it the New Alcatraz. It's somewhere out in the middle of nowhere, Colorado.
That's right. Yeah, we talked about this, didn't we?
Yep.
Because I think he originally was sent there.
Yeah.
But what was I saying to you?
Something about El Chapo.
Oh, he's got, the ladies love El Chapo so much that they're in his homeland. There is an El Chapo pedicure. Manicure? Which one's?
Manny is the hands. The pedicure is the feet.
Yeah, it's a Manny. And what they're doing is they're painting, you know how some ladies, they like the fancy designs on their nails?
Sure.
They're painting El Chapo's face on the nails for these ladies.
Really?
They ask for the El Chapo.
It's like the weird people that like fall in love with serial killers, like that sort of thing.
I don't know. Well, a lot of people where he's from think he's a hero.
Yeah.
It's a different.
Yeah, because and they do a lot for the community and they hand out money and you know, it's like a Nino Brown thing, handing out turkeys on Thanksgiving. It is called the New York's Metropolitan Correctional Center, or the MCC, and it's they describe it as a Guantanamo Bay in Manhattan. Mm. It is known for some of the harshest living quarters in any U.S. prison system. Mm. So they said it is quite rough.
So it's right there in Manhattan. Huh?
Yeah, but I guess it's no joke.
See, that seems kind of odd in a sense that, I mean, everybody's just so on top of each other there. Whereas a lot of these prisons, you just look like that Colorado one is like in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, it's designed that way. But I mean, I'm assuming that the security at the one in Manhattan is insane. I mean.
Oh, of course. Yeah. It's kind of odd that like you could just be like that close, you know, that close to those guys.
In Manhattan and you got like the worst.
There's El Chapo right down there.
It's hanging out.
But anyway,
we were originally talking about Big Poppy and then the whole drug lord thing. And yes, how do we get on that?
Well, El Chapo nail art is a thing. So what would you do if you were dating someone who rolled out up to, like, say, let's say she's got her hooks in you. You're like, yeah, she's great.
I think that's a deal breaker.
Latino lady. And
yeah, that's not going to work for me.
We're going to go out on another date tonight and she shows up and her nails have El Chapo on them.
Yeah, she loves El Chapo. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and pass.
And another one that says haters.
Lesson here is don't get involved with drug lords. Well, just anything involved in drug lords. It's all bad. And back to the Big Poppy thing. How scary is that, though, that if the story is true and this is indeed a drug lord or a cartel guy that put the hit on him, is he really safe anywhere? Because I'm willing to guess if the drug lord's willing to send a killer after him once, it's not like he's going to be like, well, I failed once. Nothing I can do about it now. You know, they don't give a rip about anything.
He's got to get security, man.
Yeah.
It's on now. Like it's.
I'm assuming, obviously, you're safer in the United States than you are in the Dominican Republic, but I still wouldn't make the argument that you're 100% safe.
The other thing that I'd be worried about is my family.
Yes.
You know, I'd be worried about.
Your wife.
He's got a lot of people down there.
Absolutely.
That they could kidnap or.
Ugh.
It's just not good.
No.
Not good in any way.
No.
And as a texter says, better each day, text line, Big Poppy is slinging more wood in the Dominican than he did at Fenway. And that seems to be the case.
Yeah, well, again, none of that should be surprising. It sucks that led to this. Allegedly, to be fair.
That's true. We don't know any of this.
No. It's all reports.
Yeah, he's lucky to be alive.
Yes, that is 100%.
Unbelievable.
Because it would have been so easy for that guy, instead of shooting him in the back, to just put the gun to the back of his head. And again, this is a completely different story.
So the latest is apparently his wife and his girlfriend both were at the hospital and got in a fight.
Yeah.
Waiting for him to get out of surgery.
There is video of it. I'm not sure which one's the wife and which one's the girlfriend or the mistress, but they're going at it pretty good.
Would you like to sports cry with me, Jace?
Yeah, we can sports cry.
Let's all sports cry. Coming up next. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Well, the David Ortiz story is quite bizarre. And so was last night with Kevin Durant's injury. It's very weird.
Yeah, there was a lot of drama. All of a sudden, a series that just kind of seemed like a dud, and it sucks because, you know, obviously what happened to Durant is terrible and everyone feels bad for him. But all of a sudden, you know, going back to Oracle game six, and especially with the kind of the bad feelings now, obviously Golden State was pretty pissed with some of the people cheering about Durant getting hurt. Toronto in their history of kind of choking in the postseason, now a little bit of a pressure going back to Oracle. They've already won there twice. Can they win there a third time? And, you know, if Golden State pulls it off and then you're going back to a game seven, or all bets off, championship teams are hard to defeat. All of a sudden there's some intrigue. And I think a little bit of the pressure is back in Toronto's court now, going back for a game six.
Well, no question. They're gripping out there.
I mean, they had it.
They had it.
They were up six.
Yep.
With what, about 3 minutes to go, Nurse calls that timeout, and Golden State reels off nine in a row.
They're doing everything they can out there today.
To calm it down, right?
To tell themselves, we have them right where we want them. We're fine. And, you know, you would have handed me 3-2 before the series started. I would have taken it. And, yeah, they're freaking out.
Yeah.
You just
well and
the I Warriors just, won't die, man.
No, they won't. And I think it's going to be hard to beat the Golden State Warriors with or without Kevin Durant three times at Oracle.
Okay, so one of the weirder, well, actually, I think it was the strangest moment of the evening. It was a lot going on with Kevin Durant and that whole thing and all the speculation. But Bob Myers, the Golden State GM, took to the podium after the game. And I thought, I have never seen this an executive.
No, well, someone asked Steve Kerr about the injury, and Steve Kerr basically just said, talk to Bob Myers. I mean, I've never seen anyone pass the buck quite like Steve Kerr when he's like, hey, should, you know, because people were asking how severe the injury was before this and whose decision was it to play and do you feel bad about it? And Steve Kerr was like, man, talk to him. And then to see an executive come out and be in tears, it was bizarre.
So Bob Myers felt the need to be accountable, and he steps up to the mic, and here's what he said.
Kevin had it's an Achilles injury. I don't know the extent of it. He'll have an MRI tomorrow. Prior to coming back, he went through 4 weeks with our medical team, and it was thorough, and it was experts and multiple MRIs and multiple doctors. And we felt good about the process. He was cleared to play tonight. That was a collaborative decision. I don't believe there's anybody to blame, but I understand this world. And if you have to, you can blame me. I run our basketball operations department. And let me tell you something about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant loves to play basketball, and the people that questioned whether he wanted to get back to this team were wrong. And I'm not here to... He's one of the most misunderstood people. He's a good teammate. He's a good person. It's not fair. I'm lucky to know him. I don't know. I don't have all the information on what really the extent of what it all means until we get an MRI. But the people that worked with him and cleared him are good people. They're good people.
So that was Golden State GM Bob Myers. We also have...
So weird.
It is weird. But we also do have one other piece of audio. We do have exclusive audio of Neil O'Shea reacting to Bob Myers.
Yeah. You know...
And that's what he had to say. No, it was weird. And it's like there's a lot of people texting in. You can text a Better You Today text line.
People aren't buying it.
55305. It's cringy, definitely.
Fake cry.
Was it fake? Somebody asked, why was he crying? Well, he's crying because he found out that Kevin Durant's career has been changed forever because the Achilles injury, he knows that it's a torn Achilles, and that means, that's as bad of an injury as a basketball player can get.
Yep.
And he knew that. And so the thing about it was, is he understood, and I guess you got to give him credit for this. He understood at the time how bad it was going to look that they ran Kevin Durant out there because they knew the risks. They were desperate. They knew the risks of him with that calf injury, what could happen. They knew that he could rupture an Achilles. They hoped he wouldn't, but they knew he could. And because he did, and Myers knew that he did, even though they hadn't had the MRI yet, he was going to get out ahead of it and be accountable because he knew people would be like, what the hell was he doing out there could happen?
Yeah, your entire organization is on the line, right? The reputation of your organization, of your team doctors, of your coach, of yourself. I mean, there's a lot of people. I mean, Charles Barkley came out today and just flat out said that he blamed Golden State. There's a ton of people that are questioning the medical doctors. And this is the same thing with what happened with Kawhi Leonard in San Antonio, that he didn't trust him. There's already enough public distrust of team doctors. And so I think that this is, in one aspect, it's a huge PR crisis. And then I'll take him at his word. I'm sure it's a very emotional thing to run a guy out there that you have fond feelings for, knowing that he's doing it for you and for your organization and his teammates, and knowing there's a chance he could get hurt, and then seeing that happen. And it's an injury that could potentially, like you said, alter his career. Durant will come back, but is Durant ever going to be the same player? Is he going to be the best player in the NBA? No one has an answer for that. Like you said, this is probably the worst injury you can suffer as an NBA player. And so I do think that there's an emotional toll and maybe some guilt that goes upon that maybe, God, should we have run him out there? Should we have said no? Should we have never cleared him, not allowed this to happen? But ultimately, the decision did come down to Kevin Durant. I mean, Kevin Durant decided to go out there and give this a whirl. So anyone saying that there was a gun to his head or that he was forced or pressured, dude, that guy was pressured by fans, by teammates, by himself, by the culture of being a Warrior, all those things. But that's the same pressure that every athlete faces to go out and play. It's his decision.
I said this earlier, and I can't blame the Warriors because I just can't be convinced that teams ever force guys to play. Especially superstars like Kevin Durant. I mean, the Spurs tried to get Kawhi Leonard back out there, and he said no. Kevin Durant could have easily said no. Kevin Durant has people around. Believe me, Kevin Durant has people that are very, very in on all of these decisions, yes. Right? Like, Kevin Durant ain't going out there unless Kevin Durant wants to go out there. And so this blame for the Warriors, I just don't think teams can hold a gun to a guy's head and say, go play.
Not to players of this level.
No, it doesn't work that way. And so I believe everything that Bob Myers said. I also think Bob Myers, I don't think he was fake at all. I think that was very sincere. And I think he was emotional for a lot of reasons, but ultimately I believe him. It was a collaborative effort. The trainers were like, yeah, he could probably play. We're down 3-1. We got to push it. We got to risk it. We know the risks. Kevin, do you want to play? Hell yeah, I want to play. I want to go out there for my guys. Let's do this. So why do we need to tear the Warriors down or
break someone over the coals?
I mean, the answer all lies with what Kevin Durant thinks. Now, if Kevin Durant comes out and says, man, the Warriors did me dirty, that's a different story. But, if he's not pointing fingers, why are we pointing fingers?
Yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens when the series is over and what Kevin Durant decides, and eventually he's going to speak, and I think you'll know a little bit more then. But I just think that Richard Sherman tweeted about this, and I'll paraphrase it. But remember, Richard Sherman did this same thing when his last year in Seattle, Richard Sherman was playing on a strained Achilles, and he knew that eventually it was going to rupture. And he even said, he goes, look, I understand what's happening here, but it's going to eventually tear. So I'm just going to go out and keep playing. And when it happens, it happens. And eventually it did. And that wasn't in the playoffs or anything. He did it in a regular season game. And Sherman even tweeted about it. He said, he basically told everyone to go pound sand, that there's not an athlete alive that in this moment wouldn't go out and force it. And so the idea that Durant, if they were up 3-1, wouldn't have gone out, of course he wouldn't. He wouldn't have risked that if they were up 3-1 and they didn't need him to win a title, but they weren't. He was desperate, and from the time you're a little kid and you play sports, you are indoctrinated into the culture of you need to be tough, you need to be a warrior, and you need to be there for your team and your teammates, and when a title's on the line, and whether you're 14 or whether you're 30 and you're Kevin Durant, that same thing applies. And Durant made the decision to go out and play.
Hey, I've got another story of murder. Can we just get it? Can we be?
What
be,
is with 1080?
What
the
is
murder?
It? It's just murder all day today.
Yeah,
murder.
A lot of murder.
Attempted murder. Murder.
Did you murder someone?
Kevin Durant, you would have thought was murdered by
that,
the way.
I will say that some of the coverage is like, God. I mean, I get it, guys. That, you know, it's sad, but he's not dead. He's gonna be okay. And by the way, he'll still sign a max contract for $200 million.
Mm, I feel terrible for him. Although he does, he kind of becomes a little bit of a sympathetic figure with this injury.
Well,
right?
I think the narrative
kind of got to lay off.
Well, because everyone, there were people saying that I read the narrative today from people who was like, show me the people that were questioning his toughness, please. There was an article in The Athletic just like 2 days ago that basically said, if Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, or Steph Curry had been injured 32 days ago, would we be waiting for them to return to the court? There were all kinds of people that were calling out Kevin Durant. And that there was pressure upon him. And now, all of a sudden, he's become a sympathetic figure. And people are like, well, we weren't pressuring him. Please. Everyone was piling on that guy. And so, yes, in some ways, this has made him a more likable and sympathetic figure.
Here's someone who texted in and said, I blame Isaac. He said yesterday, what's the worst that can happen? Well, I did say that. Yeah. I was like, look, they are desperate. He is going to go out there. And we all know the risks. And so it's like... Yeah, what's the worst that can happen? Well, a torn Achilles.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened.
Didn't think about that part of it.
I think the only thing that I think you can be really critical is I think the way they handled it was bad. You know, they knew good and damn well that this thing was not going to be a day-to-day thing.
Yeah,
and
it was a fail on a lot of levels.
And by doing that, I think it put more pressure. You know, there was reports that the teammates were like, hey, man, what the hell? Like, what is taking so long here? And so I think that probably added to the pressure a little bit. And so I just think the way Golden State handled it probably wasn't the best. But I got to believe in my heart of hearts that this was not some sort of thing where they were lying to Kevin Durant.
No.
I don't buy that for a second. I'm sure that Durant knew from his people and the Warriors people exactly what the risks were going out there and giving this a whirl.
Well, you could also blame Roy McIlroy. You know, Roy McIlroy, after winning the Canadian Open over the weekend with a 61 on Sunday. And by the way, he bogeyed the 18th hole.
Could have shot a 60?
59 if he made the bunker shot.
Oh, yeah.
He put on a Raptors jersey because they were in Canada. Yeah. He put on a Raptors jersey and said, Raptors in five.
Jinx?
Serious jinx. And by the way, dude was getting on a plane to fly to literally Oakland or Pebble Beach, literally San Francisco, the Bay Area, the next hour.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of want to see Toronto now have their hearts ripped out and Golden State win this in seven.
Yeah, I'm rooting for the Warriors myself.
Go Warriors.
All right, coming up next, what is it with Florida football? It is 547 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, one more murder story for you. You just can't get enough. More murder in sports.
1080 the murder.
Former Florida Gators football captain. His name is Tony Joyner.
Yeah, he was there under the great Urban Meyer.
Yeah, shocking, right?
Yeah.
He has been charged with murder.
I guess he killed his wife.
He did.
So this now makes two Florida Gators that, to be fair, one's only been charged with murder.
That's true. He's 33 now. He was a safety at Florida from 2004 to 2007, and he was a key piece of that championship team in 2006. He had 64 tackles, captain of the team. And
the old team captain, the great character.
Team captain, yeah. And Tim Tebow and Aaron Hernandez were in the same class.
Yeah.
And they were freshmen on this guy's team. So Hernandez learned from the best.
Yes, he did. That is shocking when you look at just how bad, and there's been reports like outside the lines that it with all the trouble they've had with that Florida team. And now we chalk up a second murder. Actually, you know what? Hernandez, I think, killed three or four people.
I thought three.
So technically this may be like the fourth murder.
Yeah. But Tim Tebow, bro.
Yeah. Does Tebow make up for it? it's like two murderers, but you get a Tebow out of it. So does it all kind of?
Well, I don't think the families of the slain would say that.
No, probably
but,
not.
Hey, Tim Tebow. Okay.
Hey, just remember, Urban. This guy says Urban Meyer, leader of men.
Right, and he wrote a book about it too, right?
Yeah, he wrote a book on.
And
like,
he's going to be teaching a class about it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, like leadership, right?
Leadership, Urban Meyer. Jailblazers got nothing on old Florida.
Don't worry, he'll be coaching at USC, leading men very, very soon. Yeah, he's teaching a leadership class.
What's it called?
Character and Leadership, a course.
How to Get Away with Murder by Urban Meyer.
God, Urban freaking Meyer. Except the guy can coach, and someone else will hire him.
Hey, but what's... Hey, it's me, Scoops McDermott.
Yeah.
How you guys doing?
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Doing okay.
Good to see you again, Scoots.
Thank you, overzealous Texas football data here. Now, let me ask you a question about this.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
What is... How many murders did... How many murderers did Urban Meyer coach?
Two.
Okay, yep. Now, how many titles did Urban Meyer win at Florida?
Well, there's three total.
Many titles did Urban Meyer win at Florida?
Two.
He's done. He is done. Listen.
That's a one-to-one ratio.
That is a one-to-one ratio. That is two murders, two titles, not good enough. Now, that man, Urban Meyer, is no Art Briles, okay? Because I need to remind you, the rapes to win ratio at Baylor. Okay, 65 wins, 52 rapes. Okay, what's higher?
The win, Scoots.
Thank
true,
you.
The wins.
Okay, so Urban Meyer, two titles, two murderers. It's only fair. It's not good enough.
It's true.
All right, guys, I'll talk to you guys later, okay?
You know, Scoots always brings a real rock solid, just facts. You know, he takes the emotion out of it, and you get right
this
down.
This is grounds for dismissal.
That's true. One more national title, but it would have been okay. But you can't.
Well, absolutely.
But you can't look the other way.
Nope. One to one.
I understand.
One to one. This is my ratio. Yeah, old herbs. All right. We done here?
I think we're done here. And hopefully that's the end of it.
All right. Bye, Scoots.
For Urban
Meyer. Bye, guys. Good to talk to you.
I do really enjoy Scoots.
Have a safe flight back to Texas.
I like what he brings to the table.
Overzealous Texas football daddy.
Yeah. Urban Meyer will be coaching at a high school in Texas. Give it time.
Well, now, listen. Okay. Now, you're saying if he is hired at my high school?
Yeah.
Where the great Art Briles currently resides?
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
If they... Now, listen. Art, he ain't gonna coach forever. If Urban follows Art... You know, we need to have another discussion.
Okay.
Because how many murderers did he coach? Two.
Two.
Okay. Yeah. But if he comes to our high school, how many titles has he won overall?
That would be three.
Okay, then. Now, I think that is a different conversation.
You gotta zoom out and look at the total.
Yeah, it's a no-go.
He's 12-3 in bowl games, too. Let's not forget that.
Bowl games?
Yeah. 12-3.
I don't think they have bowl games in high school, so.
Yeah, we don't care about that.
It's all about titles.
All right. Coming up next, it is... we're ready for the club already.
I think we are.
Look at that. I've got Radiohead news.
Radiohead?
Yeah, I remember them.
What the hell is Radiohead? Okay.
Well, they're in the news.
Huh.
Kim Jong-nam.
Oh, is this the brother?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw the brother making the rounds.
Yeah, we have got Kim Jong-nam news. Jupiter news. We could talk about the Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm. I saw a Noah's Ark story that I...
How did you meet your spouse?
Oh, yeah, I do kind of want to. I think that one's pretty decent as well.
Noah's Ark stories. I mean, we've got a lot to get to. We'll see what we can get to in all that.
Which probably means we get to none of it. But
probably, yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Coming up next, it's The Club on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.